Hi, thanks for tuning in to the August 4th, 2013 Armed American Radio podcast version. Due to some technical problems we had last night resulting in some loop back, in other words, some violent echoes, we were unable to run the live show last night after the first hour. So what you're going to get here is an encore presentation of last week's incredible interview with George Zimmerman's brother, Robert Zimmerman. Enjoy the podcast. If you've heard it before, enjoy it a second time. If you haven't, enjoy it the first time. It's great stuff. And keep in mind, my new book, Lessons from Unarmed America, co-written with the great Rob Pincus, and the foreword written by rock and roll legend Ted Nugent, is available now on Amazon.com, on Kindle, or in print. Head over and pick up a copy for yourselves, and I'll see you on the radio.
Prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Crossbreed, the mobile Crossbreed Holster Studios. Shanto down in Dallas, how you doing? Is he still there? You know what? He had microphone problems. He's probably on the telephone right now, so we'll go back to him in just a little bit. I'm joined here in the mobile Crossbreed Holster Studios with special guests today, Robert Zimmerman, brother of George Zimmerman. Robert, it's a pleasure, and I really appreciate you staying over and continuing this conversation. Great to have you here.
My pleasure. Thanks.
And your attorney, Jeff Dowdy. Jeff is sitting over to your left, right across from me here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Jeff, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
I've got so many questions for you guys. We're just going to go right into it. Hey, Shanto, before we get started, I got the following email.
All right.
Mark, if Shanto is from the Lone Ranger show, why can't he call you Amos Hobby? So that's a discussion. That's a discussion for another show. Yeah, we'll go there in just a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a ton of email here. I'm going to get to those in just a moment. For Robert Zimmerman or Jeff Dowdy or myself, please feel free to email your questions to me during the broadcast, and we'll get as many to them as many as we can here during this hour at mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org. Wow. I'm not even sure where to start. We ended the last hour with the Stand Your Ground with
right.
you. And, of course, that's not a part of this case, and it never was a part of this case. I don't think it was a part of this case. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, it was not. It's self-defense. Everybody thinks Stand Your Ground was part of the case, but no.
Okay. Can you describe for listeners the difference between Stand Your Ground? I want the facts out here. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you're one of those emotional, if you act on emotion and you have trouble thinking, please pay careful attention here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's think and not just feel. We want you to understand the facts. Jeff, would you describe the Stand Your Ground as it relates here in Florida?
Just in common law, Stand Your Ground is a statute in Florida that holds that a person does not have a duty to retreat if you are being attacked by somebody, and you can use reasonable methods to defend it. As opposed to self, and that's a statute. So if somebody, such in George's case, was acting in what we would call self-defense, but Stand Your Ground, defending himself, there's no case. It ends right there. He's acting legally. Obviously, this didn't happen. So then what we had was a self-defense issue, and that's before a court of law, that's before a jury to decide. And we've had self-defense since the Old West days, since the colonial days. You know, he drew first. You know, we know that. That is self-defense, and that's the big distinction. Stand Your Ground. If it goes to a court and you are arrested and use your Stand Your Ground, you can go before a judge, and a judge can rule whether or not the person acted in what would be self-evident. It'd be self-defense, and that's pretty accurate.
Outside the home.
Outside the home. Absolutely.
Outside the home, wherever you have a lawful right to be.
Right. That's definitely outside the home. That's what it's for. That's what the Stand Your Ground's for.
For those people who might have difficulty thinking and hearing and understanding what you're saying,
right.
Let me set it up for you in very basic terms. I'm walking out of a Walmart. I have every right to be coming out of that Walmart at 2:30 in the morning.
Absolutely.
To my vehicle. My vehicle might be one of maybe 15 cars in the parking lot. And I didn't park in a well-lighted area. I'm walking out of the Walmart to a dark area. And I'm attacked by two or three people, and I'm lawfully carrying a concealed firearm, and I've followed all the rules. I've taken all the required training, and I have my permit and my government permission slip.
All right.
And I'm attacked, and I'm backed against my vehicle or I'm backed against a van sitting before my before I get to my vehicle.
Right.
I don't have to try to run away, do I?
No, you do not. That's the purpose of the law, and that's the name of the law. You can stand your ground, and you can defend yourself.
What is it that people don't understand about that? What is it about that aspect of self-defense that people don't get? Is it a political issue from different parts of the country where people have been brainwashed in New York for years that you have to run away or we got to shoot him and drag him inside the house? Is that where this comes from?
Absolutely is where it's coming from. It's a simple law. It's a simple concept. And what irks me now is that stand your ground had nothing to do with the trial. They could have had a stand your ground hearing, as I said earlier. I mean, but they just chose not to. So they went on a self-defense issue. So today, as we sit here, people across the country are saying this is a stand your ground issue. It's not.
And it never was.
It never was. This was a self-defense case.
I want to make that very clear, ladies and gentlemen. This had nothing to do with stand your ground. It was never a stand your ground case. In fact, I listened to Mark O'Meara. I met Mark O'Meara at the Gun Rights Policy Conference.
Mark O'Meara is an old friend of mine.
I met him down at the GRPC, the Gun Rights Policy Conference, down in Orlando last year, and listened to him speak. And he made that comment at that time that this was not a stand your ground case, but they may, in fact, look at a hearing because the law existed.
Exactly.
And, of course, that changed as the facts began to come out in the case. Or I should say, as the case became more politicized.
Yeah, and one of the things you said, Mark, that I just want to clarify, because I do get questions about this all the time. You said the word, you said you were coming out of Walmart and you were attacked. The self-defense immunity statute provides a person acting lawfully in self-defense not to necessarily have to be attacked, but to simply
Correct.
Be threatened. So if you were walking out and it's not well lit and someone pulls out a knife and says, I'm going to kill you, MF-er, you know, you can pull your gun out and shoot them. If that was a rubber knife, if that person was just kidding, if that person, you know, thought you were somebody else or whatever, too bad. Am I correct?
No, you're absolutely correct.
It has to be perceived as a threat, but it's not up to you in that instance to go examine the knife and see if it's really able to kill you or not, or if the person has the physical means or whatnot. So there seems to be misunderstanding in terms of being attacked or simply being threatened, and why that's so essential when we discuss stand your ground, because the duty to retreat is really what that addresses. It wasn't a factor in this case because George was laid on his back, unable to retreat to begin with. So there wasn't really retreat that had to be addressed. The other thing it addresses is civil liability. What would happen before is that someone would be found not guilty, or someone, there was no separate hearing specifically under the Stand Your Ground statute that you could assert immunity criminally and also be awarded civil immunity. So someone would be found not guilty, and then they'd be dragged through civil court.
Correct.
To get money out of them, you know, later.
And, of course, the Stand Your Ground law, which passed in Florida in 2005, correct me if I'm wrong,
2005.
October, I think it went in effect October 5th, 2005, if I'm not mistaken, addressed the civil liability portion of it, and it is found under Florida law. People need to understand this. This is Florida law. Mark O'Meara made it very clear in a post-verdict statement that if there were civil attempts to come after George from a civil standpoint, that they would, in fact, and this I'm quoting Mark, we would seek and we will get immunity for George Zimmerman. Now, I'm assuming at that point he would do what, since there's been an acquittal in self-defense? Would he go at stand your ground to go after the?
Yes.
The first
line of defense, yes, would be stand your ground.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Very good. All right. Well, that hasn't happened yet. We don't know anything
about that, so we
won't address that. I got a couple emails here. This one comes in from Rob Morse. Rob says, Mark, how can the Zimmermans finally get their life back? Robert, his sister, their parents, George.
I do get asked that all the time. I don't think something's going to happen and then one day life will be normal. I think that clinging to our old definition of normal is kind of futile. But I think that it's a process. It's not going to just end one day. And it begins with reengaging people when and as we feel safe. Right now, we're not there. There was a hate crime today in Washington where three blacks beat up a man who was white, screaming, this is for Trayvon, and they stole his phone and his wallet. That's just the reality of a person who's walking while being white. You know, there's still a lot of racial animosity circulating and permeating the verdict. So imagine what they would do to a member of the Zimmerman family, not just because they're black, but if people happen to be incensed or feel justified that Trayvon didn't receive justice, so now they're going to take it out on us, that certainly prevents us from meaningfully engaging anyone in the public right now.
And you need to be very, very cautious and very careful. I'm not telling you something you don't already know. That's something that was discussed before the interview and everything else, and I know that you're doing that. It's a shame that you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Sean?
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. That's absolutely appalling just to hear something like that.
Was Sean, do you know, and I know you're the news hound, you're constant. We should probably have gotten Neil McCabe, our man on Capitol Hill, to check and find out when Al Sharpton is holding the rally in D.C. regarding that case.
I do not know, but
he had a mini one. Yeah, he had a mini rally in Miami.
Yeah,
just over the weekend.
Right. And he called for people to go outside of churches, I guess, on Saturday. And I think he wants, if it's not him, it's Jesse Jackson, I think, they want some kind of presence in front of federal courthouses going forward.
Yes. Because they're now demanding...
They're now demanding that Eric Holder or the Department of Justice charge George with violating Trayvon Martin's civil rights.
We call him Eric Withholder here.
Okay.
For a very good reason. Obviously, the laughter means you know why. Go ahead.
I believe that, you know, if my understanding is that was already done at the beginning before the actual trial, and the FBI had found that there were no civil rights violations whatsoever.
In fact, they found just the opposite.
That's correct. They said 100 agents down here interviewed hundreds of people to try to dig up something where they could start a civil rights federal suit against George, and there was nothing there.
All right, well, let's
nothing has changed.
Let's go after that now. Let's go there. We'll just let the conversation flow. Forget the bullet points. How much time, Sean? Well, see, I'm a professional. That's very good. You know, when you can sense that. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll talk about Eric Withholder and the potential for civil rights charges against your brother, Robert. This is Armed American Radio. I'm Mark Walters. We'll be back. We're filling your prescription for freedom right here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Back after this. Okay, now we're going to talk about how you can get prepared to defend yourself and your family in a worst-case scenario. All of you know I'm a huge fan of Rob Pincus and his work with the Personal Defense Network. Well, the Personal Defense Network has assembled a series of revolutionary handgun training videos designed to make you more efficient with a defensive firearm in the context of a dynamic critical incident. This training course, which is only $39.95, offers more than 3 solid hours of powerful, practical, and proven techniques that will increase your speed and efficiency. Some of the topics covered include things like the balance between speed and precision, one-handed and weak-handed reloads, and, of course, shooting around a corner. So to get a copy of this one-of-a-kind training course and to help support Armed American Radio, visit armedamericandvdoffer.com. Once you order, you'll get the 3-DVD training course for only $39.95 plus shipping and handling. This is a great deal. Check it out. Again, go to armedamericandvdoffer.com and get your copy today.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit galcogunleather.com.
Ever wish you could find a concealed carry holster that allows wearing the clothing of your choice with absolutely no restrictions on body movements? A concealed carry holster that provides such deep concealment that no one will know you're carrying unless you tell them. The world-famous Smart Carry Holster does just that while providing complete invisibility, total comfort, and freedom of movement even when carrying a full-size handgun. Make your gun disappear in total comfort today. Visit smartcarry.com now.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com.
Old Faithful holsters, designed to be as reliable as their Yellowstone National Park namesake. Made from the highest quality American leather and ultra-strong kydex, we use only the most durable materials available and put our 50-year warranty where our mouth is. Have a gun you'd love to carry but can't find a holster? Purchase one of our holster kits and build it yourself. To purchase a fully assembled holster for your carry gun or to build one yourself, visit oldfaithfulholsters.com now.
Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer, in addition to our already outstanding belt selection, introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff, the Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com.
This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
Welcome back, indeed, to the mobile Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm Mark Walters. This is Armed American Radio. We're filling your prescription for freedom today on the Armed American Radio Network. And, of course, we're talking with George Zimmerman's brother, Robert. Robert, welcome back to the studios. It's great to have you here. Thank you for sticking around an extra hour as well.
Thanks, Mark.
And your attorney, Jeff Dowdy. Jeff, you're here with us, and thank you very much. I know that you guys, there's a big demand on your time.
No problem.
We appreciate
Thanks a lot.
It. We appreciate it very
great.
Much.
Thank you.
To give our national audience your perspective. And I, here we were talking about so many things during the break, I forgot where I was going to go with you when we got back. So what I'm going to do, if you remember what I said, ladies and gentlemen, send me an email at mark@armedamericanradio.org and we'll get back to it.
No, that's just funny right there.
That is funny right there. That is.
We're live.
If it's live radio, what can I tell you? John Troutman writes in a little while ago to the studio, little by little, the truth is coming out on news outlets such as this. Do you think this trickle of truth will eventually become a flood, thereby compelling mainstream media to report the truth? Robert?
My hope is that the next time race is injected into any story, especially something that deals with death or that alleges some kind of disparity in the way people are treated because of race, that the public will be demanding the media to be held accountable. I think race should send out a red flag, a big warning. You know, when we inject black, white, gated community, we have to really listen with a grain of salt to what these people are feeding us. And I think that that's up to the public to demand accountability from the major outlets.
They should be incensed. And it doesn't matter what political stripe you come from, what your background is, when we've witnessed what we are continuing to witness now. Jeff, in the mainstream media is absolutely appalling.
Oh, it is. Well, just locally, I mean, just things got so out of proportion. And one of the victims that nobody talks about post-verdict, what about Chief Bill Lee?
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yes, we've talked about him, yes.
And he lost his job over this because he made the correct decision. Mm-hmm. It was an unpopular decision, but he lost his whole career over this.
Well, let me ask you this. You bring up a great point. It was an unpopular decision, you said. Unpopular right. To who and when? Because under Florida law, and I've mentioned this on the air before in a previous couple shows, post-verdict, actually, he's been vindicated as a result. It wasn't just George.
Right.
That jury vindicated his decision as well. And now he's not
the chief of police.
He's not the chief of police, but at least he has his integrity. And he knows that he was right. That jury spoke for him as well, too. Now, I don't know what ramifications he has. I don't know if there's anything.
I don't know if he does either, but he's a stellar officer. He's with Seminole County Sheriff's for 20-something years and was only on the job for 6 months. He made the correct call, but he lost his job to politics. And he's very right. His integrity has been vindicated. And locally, you know, everyone's happy for him.
Right.
But the big picture, like Robert said, we have to step back and take a look at how we're going to publicize these type of cases. They just don't deserve this.
It's very sad. But with the state of today's media, literally a political propaganda arm, Robert, as far as I'm concerned, I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel at this point in time.
No.
This is getting worse and worse. The mainstream media has exposed them. So
right.
It used to be they hid their bias. At least they lied about it when you asked them about
right.
it. Today it's wide open. And, you know, any clear-thinking individual, again, I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, not to feel, but to think. And I know for a lot of you, that's tough to do. But if you can think, you can see the facts and you can cut through the phase.
Well, that's what the mainstream media, that's what they figured out. It's not really that they're in the business of informing people. It's that they are informing people how they should feel about something. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of craft and color the story, as it were, with their language, white, black, gated community. George is not white now. He never will be. Black was not a factor. And gated community, it wasn't Camelot. You know, but people just hear those three words in one headline and any other words surrounding it. And the media is informing their feelings. It's a lot easier to do that. It's very easy to feel something about anything.
Oh, of course.
Than it is to have to analyze facts.
This is the playing on people's emotions. This was what Barack Obama's an expert at it. Well, this is exactly why they went after the Second Amendment issues. And this guy, Sean?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it, too, is we have people out there that don't understand the law. They didn't. And then a lot of stuff that you did get on the media. I was lucky enough. I watched the trial just unedited with no media. I don't want to hear I want to see what's going on for myself, because that way I can make a determination of what was going on. But I think you have a lot of people out there that don't understand the law, and the media knows that, and they play to those
Of course they do. We could do a whole program on how Barack Obama was reelected with the help from the mainstream media. Let's go to another email here. Is there a federal investigation? Will he get his gun back afterwards?
Presumably, the evidence will be returned to the authority who took or who had it initially, which is the Sanford Police Department or the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The Justice Department has taken custody of all the evidence, including his gun. Mm-hmm. I would recommend to George, when I have that conversation with him, to destroy that gun in right. some way that's mm-hmm. public mm-hmm. or some way that it becomes known that it's been destroyed publicly, probably through his attorney. I don't think I've gotten some strange emails about people trying to buy that gun. I think there's too much symbolism attached to that mm-hmm. gun. It certainly has tragic connotations to it. So I think that gun, you know, is probably better off destroyed. But he was entitled to get it back, but for the Justice Administration's continuing
investigation. Right, right. And Florida law says he should get the gun back. Again, that's Florida law. Some people don't like that fact, Jeff, right. but it's the law that gun should have been returned to him immediately on the acquittal.
Judge Nelson, the judge said, return everything, you're free, no business with the court, mm-hmm. and then the federal thing popped up, but I don't see that going forward.
Did Eric Withholder take possession of the nightstick, the Black Panther nightstick, at the polling place when? Oh, he didn't
Not
investigate.
That I know of.
He didn't investigate that. I'm sorry, Sean. I slipped for a minute. Yeah. I don't know what made me think that. It must have been the Fast and Furious investigation that made me think about.
Well, you know, a justice person resigned because of the Black Panther thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a travesty. What's going on? That's a whole different show. Let's go to Angela Corey. You had to be in your family, let me ask your mother, mm-hmm. when she hears this about her son.
Right.
He's been acquitted in a court of law. He's gone through hell. The family's gone through hell. Continues to go through hell. Your mm-hmm. mother in her 60s is hiding in fear for her life. Mm. God bless her. And then to hear Angela Corey, the prosecutor, say, when asked, what are your thoughts? And she says, murderer.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
My gosh, let me get your thoughts first, and then we'll go to the legal perspective from Jeff. What in the world?
You know, we grew up very close to a prosecutor and his family. We know and respect what a prosecutor is and what a prosecutor is not. Angela Corey said a range of things that were wildly inappropriate. And Angela Corey, in some of her relationships, like with Pam Bondi, the Attorney General of Florida, mm-hmm. with the governor, my dad wrote a book that examines those relationships. It's called Zimmerman v. Florida. And I've never seen a better examination of the politicizing of what happened than what he's written in the book. It's a lot of research that has to be done to write something mm-hmm. like that. But Angela Corey, in my view, if she wants to call my brother a murderer, I should be at least as entitled to call her unethical at best.
And yeah, great, great point. And when we come back, Jeff, we'll get your perspective from the legal aspect and the ethics of a prosecutor saying that after a verdict.
Right.
I'm Mark Walters. Armed American Radio continues.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
I found a small lump. It just didn't feel right. After a biopsy, I was told that it was cancer.
Last year, Kimalea Conrad was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer.
I was devastated. I felt alone. I began praying, God, how do I do this? Where do I do this? Cancer Treatment Centers of America was the place.
At Cancer Treatment Centers of America, faith and spiritual support play an important role in the fight against complex and advanced stage cancer.
When I walk into CTCA, it feels like a place of life and hope.
Advanced medicine and technology, the warm embrace of the spirit, and the power of prayer. That's Cancer Treatment Centers of America, a national network of 5 cancer hospitals.
I am so grateful and so blessed that I went to Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I am strong and I am joyous.
If you or a loved one has complex or advanced stage cancer, visit cancercenter.com/faith. Cancer Treatment Centers of America, care that never quits. Appointments available now.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.5%, APR 3.65%, that payment could support a $300,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $75,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I was young and naive, and I found myself with $11,000 of credit card debt, 9 credit cards, and nothing to show for it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496 to talk to a certified counselor.
And I ended up calling, and the lady on the phone was so nice. And it was really humbling because no one really knows what your financial situation is like. You have to open those doors.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, reduce your interest, and improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They gave me the right perspective, and they got the ball rolling, which is what I needed. I needed someone to help me get in the right direction.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Or visit mydebthasmedown.com.
This segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, America's no-compromise gun lobby. Become a member today. Visit gunowners.org. Join them, folks. I did. Welcome back.
I did, and so should you. The Gun Owners of America have your back. While you're sleeping, they have toothpicks under their eyes, literally fighting on your behalf. And listeners of the program over the last 2 weeks heard us bring a panel of self-defense experts. Robert Zimmerman in the studio here in the Mobile Crossbreed Holster Studios. We brought a number of self-defense experts in. One of them was Masad Ayoub, who you may know. Masad Ayoub, of course, was listed as a
very smart guy,
expert witness, and was a consultant to Mark O'Meara on the defense. Didn't testify.
Right.
Didn't need to. Masad, very supportive of your brother and the actions mm-hmm. that your brother took based on the facts
of the law. Mm-hmm.
As he was presented to them by counsel. He read every page of discovery. We're going to go to whether or not they got all of that discovery, Jeff.
Right.
So let's phrase this question with this. The governor, I made the statement publicly on the air here last week or 2 weeks ago that I was very disappointed in Florida Governor Scott mm-hmm. for not listening to or bowing to, I should say, political pressure from the likes of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. Clearly, there was tremendous political pressure brought down to bear on him when Obama made the comments. Like him or not, he's the president of the United States, and he knows whether there were aliens in New Mexico. We mm-hmm. don't. The fact of the matter is that he was under tremendous political pressure, and I get that. Was your family disappointed when the governor appointed that prosecutor? You had to know the results of what that was going to be at that point in time after he took over and appointed outside prosecutors to look at the case.
Actually, I mean, you mentioned Obama. We were clearly disappointed when we heard the "if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon" right. Remark, because that, to me, deals, I understand it suggests empathy, but it really injects race. And that's something we were not willing to do. We weren't willing to correct the record by saying, "Wait, George is Hispanic. Please don't call him white." Mm-hmm. Injecting race in anything is a disservice to all of us. It really, unless it's absolutely specifically a proven factor, can't just be alleged without anything to support it, and we all just kind of run with it. Now, after he said that, I wonder how tied the governor's hands must have felt to do something. I know that the statute here provides for the governor to replace, in the interest of the perception of justice, mm-hmm. a state attorney with another one. When the state attorney who's handling the case either requests it or not, so the governor can simply just overrule them and send another one in. I don't think we had any expectations at the time, in particular, of what Ms. Corey would do. We started to learn more about her as time went on and about some of the more controversial things she's mm-hmm. done in her district. And we started to learn from a website called theconservativetreehouse.com about some of the connections that she has to Pam Bondi.
Right.
Some of the things Pam Bondi was saying on CNN were very controversial as well. Some of the things that the governor could have messaged a different way were not resonating as well. Ultimately, she made the wrong call. She charged him with a crime when no crime was committed. But I don't think that we had the expectation. Like I said, we grew up very close to a prosecutor and his family, and we understand what a prosecutor is and what their job is. Their job is not riot control, mm-hmm. As Alan Dershowitz put it. That's not the job of a prosecutor, nor is it to seek justice for this person or that person, but it's to seek justice based on the truth, based on the facts of law for society at large. So I don't think we had an expectation. Were we disappointed? Absolutely.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was disappointed. I'll be very honest with you. Like you, I was disappointed when I saw that come down. As an attorney, let's get your perspective on what you thought the governor did. Right or wrong, and then afterwards, let me just let you run with the mic, Angela Corey, and some of the allegations now about her and the discovery and so forth.
Well, I worked with Norm Wolfinger. He was the state attorney in Seminole County for 25 years, and he's a great man, reputable man, never had any problems whatsoever, and he made the decision that charges were not going to be filed. It comes from Chris Serino from Sanford Police Department, who I've done many murder trials with. That was the decision. And then it started getting politicized, and it just snowballed. And I know it got bounced to R.J. LaRizza. He was the Volusia County Seventh Circuit state attorney, and he didn't take it. And somehow it got up to Ms. Corey's office. I don't know how. I wasn't in Tallahassee. But Norm Wolfinger made the decision that it was not going to be filed on. And how it got politicized, I don't know. Now, as far as Corey's office, where she handled the what we have in Florida is called an open book discovery. And that, what that means is when you have a criminal case, she made a decision to file charges, so she has to turn over all the evidence that she has. Mm-hmm. And this was the major sticking point in this case, that she withheld evidence. Mm. It was brought to her attention particularly about this cell phone that had what we call exculpatory evidence, yeah. evidence that would help the defense. She had it in January. It was brought to her attention by the IT worker from her office who told her they did not give everything to Mr. O'Meara and Mr. West. And like I said before, I've worked with these guys for years, and they're very reputable attorneys. They didn't turn that over till June. Mm. 3 weeks before the trial, and they finally turned over this evidence that would help their defense. At that time, the defense asked for a continuance because we just got this, thousands of pages of discovery, and they were denied. So they had 3 weeks to prepare, and they still never got it into evidence. But those type of things are just plain wrong. State attorney's office is out there to seek justice. They're out there to seek justice for everybody. They're not supposed to hide evidence. They're not supposed to violate discovery rules. And there's sanctions hearings coming up, and we'll see. But the way that the case was handled just is reprehensible. And in the words of Don West, and I agree with him, he's a good friend of mine, and I've done a lot of trials with him. But it should have been an open book discovery, especially a case on the national level, international level. You turn over everything and let it fall how it does. And it was just wrong the way it transpired.
Some of that material is now coming out.
Some of it. One of the investigators that Jeff mentioned, Mr. Serino, Detective Serino, hired an attorney because he thought that Brady material had been not turned over. And Brady material is material that can be exculpatory and is relevant to showing the guilt or innocence of the accused.
That's from a landmark case.
Right.
Brady versus Maryland. It's called Brady material, and he's right. Mm-hmm. And Chris Serino, I've worked many murder cases with him. He's an upstanding guy. And as you just said, he had to get his own attorney.
Right, right. Ben Kruidbos, an employee that worked, before he was in a very bizarre way, discharged of his post. He was the IT director for the Fourth Circuit. He was afraid that all these things that he was uncovering, this digital material from cell phones, was not getting turned over to the defense. I mean, even he knew enough to know that that could be a potential discovery violation. He lawyered up. And he got fired for whistleblowing.
You haven't heard the end of that one.
No, I wanted to ask you that. We're reading each other's minds. It's nice to have you here when we're not on the phone. We can actually sit and look at each other. And I saw the reaction on your face on that. Go ahead and run with that one.
Well, I mean, he was fired. He's a whistleblower. And he was fired. And there's laws that do that. You've not heard the end of that. You don't file a suit for wrongful termination. And he's, in my opinion, 100% right.
What does that say about Angela Corey? And can that be used in any future?
It could, but who knows? You know, who knows?
It makes me wonder how many people are incarcerated today unlawfully, unethically at best. How many people has she used these, what I see as hide the ball tactics, legal maneuvering, you know, oh, what photo? I don't know what photo you're talking about that the officer had the night of, you know, withholding evidence because it's digital and they'll never know the better. You know, things like that. If it's proven, if that's what happens, I wonder how many people are right now in prison because of her tactics.
Yeah, Angela Corey, I guess, you know, if you're out there listening somewhere, we know this ain't your first rodeo. This ain't the first time that's happened. It's terrible. And to think and to hear again, we're talking about your family, and I'm being told we're getting ready to go to a break. The last segment coming up, I want to ask you a question about how, in your mind, how that evening unfolded based on the conversations that you've clearly had with your brother. And then I want to ask you a hypothetical question, but one that I think will elicit a response from you that will give us an indication as to whether or not, again, this should have ever even been charged. And I want to make that comparison.
Okay, great.
When we come back here on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom coast to coast across America. We're talking with Robert Zimmerman, George Zimmerman's brother, and his attorney, Jeff Dowdy. Back right after this.
Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
The Ruger LC380 is the perfect pairing of the award-winning LC9 pistol and the popular 380 auto cartridge. The LC380 is the same size as the LC9, yet offers reduced recoil, making it Ruger's lightest recoiling personal protection pistol yet. It features a dovetailed high-visibility 3-dot sight system, 7-round magazine and finger grip extension floor plate, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The Ruger LC380. Another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger.
How many guns do you really need? Just one more. PennyGunAuction.com brings the excitement of a gun bash to your computer. Each Penny Gun Auction bid increases the price of the firearm by only one penny, resulting in winners paying pennies on the dollar for their firearm. With auctions every day, Armed American Radio listeners can register for free and receive 20 free bids for the auction of their choice using promo code WIN in caps. That's W-I-N, all in caps. Visit PennyGunAuction.com today.
Didn't think you could afford that new AR-15? Yes, you can. Check out the DTI-4 by Delton. The 16-inch M4 comes fully equipped with a collapsible stock, car handguards, A2 flash suppressor, cleaning kit, two 30-round magazines, a sling, and a beautiful hard-sided case, all under $760. Delton, priced right for any budget. DEL-TON.com. That's DEL-TON.com.
Senator Dianne Feinstein was the author of the assault weapons ban in 1994.
Professor Koppel, was the 1994 assault weapons ban a sensible and effective means of reducing gun violence?
Based on the Department of Justice study, the answer was no.
Overwhelming majority of Americans agree with us on the need for universal background checks, including more than 70% of the National Rifle Association's members, according to one survey.
Universal background checks, the true goal. View it now at RadioFactor.net.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
Welcome back to Crossbreed Holster Studios. Are mobile today, Shanto. Did you know that?
No, I didn't until you just said it.
Yes, you did. You're running the boards down there at the network. You know we're mobile. You got to love those remote location shows. They're a lot of fun to do.
Absolutely.
And thank you for your help down there as well. We are talking with, we're at the, in the last segment, and these gentlemen have been kind enough to stay in the mobile Crossbreed studios with us for an extra hour, and we appreciate that very much. Robert Zimmerman, welcome back.
Thanks, Mark.
A pleasure. Thank you very much. I hope you'll come back on the show again in the near future.
I hope so as well.
You'll definitely be invited. And Jeff Dowdy, thank you very much for staying here with us for the hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Mark.
We're going to have to move quickly. Time flies. Let's go to prosecution. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of theories about whether or not this your brother was over-prosecuted, and you can hear both sides of that. Mm-hmm. He was over-prosecuted because the Prosecution knew they wouldn't get second degree, and they were hoping for a manslaughter conviction out of the jury, number one. Number two, there's that conspiracy theory that he was over-prosecuted simply because they knew they didn't have a case, and they had to do something because of the political pressure that was brought to bear by some of America's haters, and we all know who we're talking about.
Right.
Your thoughts on that and your family's thoughts on that, and your brother's.
Actually, you know, for those kinds of questions, I defer, and I hate to plug again my dad, but he really wrote an excellent book, and I'm reading about this individual, Martin Lee Anderson. This was no accident that this child was killed, Assistant State Attorney Pam Bondi told jurors. Martin Lee Anderson died in a intensive, like, boot camp for youth,
right.
And there was a big racial firestorm made up at the time, and this is where the crump Jackson, Natalie Jackson, but the crump Darryl Parks Jackson script or playbook, their business model was born then. And Miss Bondi has gone out on the record giving accolades to Miss Corey, saying that she's responsible for, you know, what she is today. And Miss Bondi goes out of her way to praise Benjamin Crump as well.
I want to point out to listeners across the country that Pam Bondi, who Robert is referring to, is Florida's attorney general.
Right, she is now. Right, yeah. And there's been a lot of, you know, wrangling right at the top. And I think that as this suit goes on with Mr. Kroidbos, any other action the legislature may take against Ms. Corey, it's going to uncover a lot more about what were the marching orders from the governor's office? Mm-hmm. What were the marching orders from Pam Bondi? Was this simply just to come down here and investigate? Because you talked about the overcharging. That is a tactic sometimes. It's a tactic used to get people to take a plea most of the time. But I think that they just made a political calculation that they had nothing to lose. At worst, they thought they would be seen as people who tried and lost. Mm-hmm. Better than that was, hey, it's a manslaughter conviction, and we did the right thing, you know. And, of course, the top prize would have been a murder conviction. Unfortunately, charging George with any crime after the officials here locally had determined repeatedly
right.
There was no crime committed damaged the public trust in their officials. It was a disservice to Sanford, ultimately.
Did your brother know, or and maybe you don't know the answer to this question. I'm assuming that you've spoken to him about it. Did he know when the special prosecutor was brought in by the governor? Did he feel he was going to be charged at that point everything in the news?
I didn't speak to him about the special prosecutor being brought in. I spoke to him after the special prosecutor had been brought in.
Right.
So, you know, he knew that this stuff was going on. He wasn't living in some kind of vacuum, but he was in hiding. I think he would probably tend to think about prosecutors the same way our family does. They don't just seek justice for Trayvon, or they don't just say someone died, let's charge with murder.
His faith was in the system. What you're telling me is
his faith was in the system from the beginning, from not lawyering up and telling the truth and not hiring an attorney and cooperating with police is and has always been in the system, and so has our families.
Now your father is a what?
Retired Virginia magistrate.
Okay, so you guys know a little bit about the law. You know a little bit about criminal justice. You
right.
grew up in that environment.
Well, we certainly know what probable cause is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
It, very well put. Very well said. Jeff, let me go over to you now with the legal theories here of the over-prosecution. Your thoughts on that?
It's typical, and Robert's right. Sometimes it's there to try to get a plea. Listen, I'll let your client plead to a lesser charge. You know, a lot of times you'll have death penalty cases that'll get listen, I'll give your person a life sentence if they want to plead guilty. We'll waive the death penalty. But it's also, I think in this case, though, it was more political. They knew the evidence that they had. I don't think they knew they could get a second-degree murder, but they could try to get a manslaughter, and that would be a lesser-included charge. Don West vehemently argued against a lesser-included charge. So did Mark O'Meara. They wanted second-degree murder. That's it. Let's go on that. That's what
standard
you charge.
Standard procedure for the judge to do what she did and allow
it. Yeah, she was obligated to do it. Yeah, it was a correct decision. And so they got the lesser charge. And a lot of people thought he might get hung on that.
Right.
You could tell with the way the prosecution laid out the case, they were laying out evidence that some people were in the legal community were like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. They weren't like really aggressively prosecuting. They did give out a lot of evidence, like, right. Why'd you call this witness?
Well, you know, I watched it. I thought the same thing. I thought, this is the prosecution's witness here?
And I think that was more of a political atmosphere to say, after if they lost the case, they could go out on a podium and say, ladies and gentlemen, this is what we have. We gave every bit of evidence that we have, but for the cell phone. Right. And this is what happened.
Wow. You start interjecting politics into this, and we've got just a mess on our hands.
Yeah.
When you combine that with the mainstream media that is clearly pushing an agenda, it's impossible to get to the facts.
Right. And I think Robert's absolutely correct. When somebody started second-guessing Norm Wolfinger's office,
right.
which he is a spectacular reputation in the community. When they started second-guessing them and bringing in outsiders and it started getting politicized, and I knew in the legal community, because I'm there in the trenches every day, when they got a special prosecutor, we all knew charges were coming.
And I hope he knows that it wasn't the legal community and his peers and colleagues that was second-guessing him. Right. It was Al Sharpton, it was Jesse Jackson, and it was the mainstream media that was second-guessing because they were pushing a political agenda. And we all know that to be the case. Right. Robert, I have to ask you this. When it was offered manslaughter,
mm-hmm.
Did your knees buckle? Did your mom? What did your mom think? And what did your brother think? Was he scared to death?
Well, we expected that lesser included. It usually automatically, I think,
it's category eight necessarily included offense.
Right.
They
had
to give it. Even though they argued, lesser parties agreed to it and stipulate, she had to give it.
Right, right. Now, they did try to argue for child abuse and you know, committing child abuse with a firearm that resulted in a death, which are some kind of like add-on charges as well. But I think the moment of knee buckling was when the jury wanted additional instructions to define manslaughter.
Right.
That was a little bit bizarre. At least it kind of indicated that murder might be off the table. Mm-hmm. But that was our worst fear, is that the instructions, the self-defense instructions, would not be clear enough, or that people, just lay people, when someone dies, it's really a homicide, but most people in this CSI generation in Law and Order think, oh, well, that's a manslaughter because one caused the death of another, and now that one is dead. That person is
dead.
Well,
probably you and Jeff probably as well as you, and then probably George and your family and everybody else. The political pundits, the moment they ask that question, they're coming back with a manslaughter. They knew what was happening. We're going to come back. Oh, they're clearly going to come back. You had all the pretty attorneys on Fox News, you know, all the TV lawyers out there telling everybody this is what this means. This is what's going to happen.
Yep.
And yet again, they were all wrong.
Exactly.
They were all wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to look at the facts. Quit listening to these people on TV. Very quickly, we're getting ready to end the show. We've got about 10 seconds apiece. If Trayvon Martin had lived and not been killed, would we even be here today?
Hard to tell. Probably not.
Jeff?
Probably not. It wouldn't have got politicized.
And without the politics involved, we wouldn't be having this discussion, would we?
I think
you're right. And your brother wouldn't have been persecuted.
I think it would have been
political persecution.
It would have been pegged as an attack was stopped, but not a black person died at the hands of a white person.
I want to thank both you gentlemen for coming here. You're going to be invited back very soon. I appreciate it very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Robert Zimmerman, George Zimmerman's brother, and his attorney, Jeff Dowdy, here in the Armed American Radio Crossbreed Holster Mobile Studios. Remember, I tell you every week, I'll tell you again, as I close out every hour, carry on, carry often, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Don't be that unarmed caveman.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, stop collections calls, wipe out late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and improve your credit score. So call the Trinity Debt Relief Hotline at 1-800-936-5496. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-936-5496. That's 1-800-936-5496. Call now. Or visit MyDebtHasMeDown.com.
Trinity.
1-800-936-5496.
Folks, you paid a king's ransom to send your kids to the finest colleges. Now they've graduated, and guess what? They can't find a job. You've already invested in their education. Now invest in their careers. Start a business that your adult children can run and flourish in. You hear it here. Give your children the break in life they really need using money you already have. Just call my friend Steve Cooper at ersop.com, the Entrepreneur Rollover Stock Ownership Plan.
Thanks, Hugh. We've helped countless people use their retirement money to invest in businesses for themselves and their family. It only takes a couple of weeks to finance, and it's totally legal.
Trust ersop.com to help you start a small, profitable business that could give your adult children a head start. Turn your family's fortunes around using your own money legally with no debt or payments. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. Call 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP. 866-MY-ERSOP.
Acting in what we would call self-defense, but stand your ground, defending himself. There's no case.